Wow. Awesome. He is the living water for sure. This morning I want to talk to you about a topic. Hopefully it's a two-part series here. I want to talk with you about something that we all experience. It's called thirst. Everybody say thirst. Have you ever been thirsty? Ever been parched? Ever felt like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die if I don't take a drink? And you probably would die if you didn't take a drink, that's for sure. I got this on the news, and I was looking, and I thought it was interesting. It says this: Twin Peaks actor Jeremy Lindholm brutally beat his girlfriend at her place of work after she left the house and didn't return with the Kool-Aid drink he demanded. I don't know if it was Rootin' Tootin' Raspberry, whatever it was, but he wanted some Kool-Aid drink here. He is currently in Spokane jail on a $100,000 bond after hitting his girlfriend in the head and all over her body with a baseball bat. He jumped on her then, choked her, and put his knee in her. It was crazy. Here was the headline. It says this: man almost murders girlfriend for not giving him a soft drink. Man almost murders girlfriend for not giving him a soft drink, for not satisfying his thirst. Now that's crazy to me when you think about it, that he would go to those extremes because he didn't get his Kool-Aid, because he didn't get something to drink, something to satisfy his thirst. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a thirst out there in our world. People are hungering and thirsting for something that truly isn't satisfied, and no Kool-Aid drink really is going to satisfy that. Thirst. We get thirsty. Do you know why you get thirsty? Do you know why you get thirsty? Naturally, your body needs water, and thirst is your body's way of saying, I need it now. I want it now. You need 60% of your body weight is water. 60% of your body weight is water. So on a 200-pound guy, I know we got him. Is anybody here about 200 pounds? We have a guy out there, 200 pounds? You, come on, run up here real fast. Can you run? Run. Faster. Run faster. Run faster. 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 So 60% body weight, that means for a guy about our size, we're made up of 15 gallons of water. You have 15 gallons of water. Feel that. Oh, don't spill it. Right? And that's not even full all the way, right? 15 gallons. Open up. We got to start charging you. No. Better. Go ahead, you and me sit down. 15 gallons of water is inside of you. 15 gallons. And the more muscular your body is, the more water it can contain. So mine's probably 16 or 17 gallons. No, I'm just kidding. Fat contains less water. Every system in your body needs water in order to operate. And we need about 3/4 of a gallon a day. That's our natural thirst. But what about your spiritual thirst? You know why you're thirsty spiritually? Because God made you that way. Here's my observation. God made you with a capacity to thirst, to long for something, and He made you that way on purpose. Why do I long for something? Why am I thirsty for something beyond me? Why is there something that feels empty inside? Why is that? Because God created you that way, and He wants to fill you up. Something to fill up the void inside. Something to fill up the emptiness you feel in your heart sometimes. To fill up your desires that your heart longs for. To be satisfied. To be full. You see, spiritual thirst is a God-shaped vacuum. A void that can only be truly filled by the one who created you. By God Himself. He created you. He wants to fill you up. And if you don't have that, then something is missing from you. Something is missing from what God created you to be. Have you ever, when something's missing, isn't that a bummer? Have you ever put the puzzle together and there's a piece missing? That's not one you put on the wall, right? I mean, it's frustrating. The piece is missing. Or put a model together and all of a sudden there's a piece of the model that's missing. And it's frustrating. I was, a couple of weeks ago, we have this boat. It's a 1990 something, something. All right, as a boat. So we were up during the 4th of July and taking the kids around. We're going to get ready to water ski and do all that stuff. And we're getting excited about that. And bam, I ran over a log. And beat up the, a submerged log. Yeah, it wasn't on shore. I didn't just come up on shore. Hey, how did that happen? It was submerged. And so, but I bent the lower unit of the boat, and so I had to replace it. Okay, so I'm going, oh gosh, this is going to cost me a lot. Get somebody. I know what, I'll fix it myself. So I went online. I see you have a lot of faith in me. That's our pastor. He can't fix nothing, man. So I decided to go online, do all the YouTube videos, all that stuff. And I ordered this piece. It's $750 for this lower unit. So I get my kids over there. We are undoing it. Get the bottom out. Get the other one back on. I can't get it on. Finally, they come on over and they help me get the whole thing on. And it's in the middle of the night. You know, you're trying to do all this. You can't see nothing. Get it all on. Put the prop back on. They take it down. It's a 5-hour break-in time. Oh, bummer. 5 hours to do nothing in the boat. So they do nothing in the boat for 5 hours. And we come back. We find out something's wrong. It chewed up some stuff. The metal part of the lower unit just got ruined. And I'm going, what the? Well, I find out, we go online, and then I talk to the guy who I bought the motor from, and he goes, did you put the little washer on, the prop? I go, the little washer? No, I didn't put that little washer, that little spacer that keeps it from doing that. I go, no, I didn't do that. And in the process, I ruined the whole thing I just bought. Brand new, now it's ruined. Now I'm thinking another $750. I got to buy another one. So I'm talking to him and asking, can you cut me a good deal on this thing, man? Can you cut me a good deal on the motor? I mean, I know I ruined this. And while I was on pause and he was talking to me about stuff, it said this, the warranty on the motor is a 3-year no fault warranty. That means it doesn't matter who broke it. They're going to fix it. For free. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how excited I was to realize I didn't have to pay another $750 for that. A no-fault warranty. A no-fault warranty. My thought is this. When something is missing, it can ruin everything else. When something is missing, it can cause a catastrophe. It can ruin things. When something's missing, and you know, without Christ in our lives, satisfying thirst, something is missing, and something starts to ruin our life when it's missing. But I'm so thankful to God, He has a no-fault warranty. You come to Him, regardless of what you've ruined in your life, regardless of what you've ruined in your life, He has a no-fault warranty. He will fix it, replace it, and make it better than new. I'm so thankful to God because I messed up my life. I ruined my life. There were things missing. God was missing. And I ruined my life as I was thirsting after other things, fulfilling it in ways I shouldn't have done it. But I'm thankful for the no-fault warranty that was placed on Jesus Christ on Calvary 2,000 years ago. A guarantee that He says, come to me and I'll fill your thirst. And I'll fix, or I should say it this way, I will heal what's been ruined in your life. God is amazing, and I'm so thankful for Him. We have thirst. You have thirst in your soul. It was given there by God to drive you to Him. But sometimes people describe the thirst in many different ways. There's a thirst for adventure or a thirst for knowledge. That's why a lot of college students came. You have this, this thirst for knowledge. I came to WSU or University of Idaho or a community college because I have this thirst for knowledge. Or maybe it's a thirst for a job. I don't know. Something that's a thirst out there. Or if maybe it's a thirst for love. A thirst for respect. Maybe it's a thirst to belong. And you know that people sell out their values in order to belong somewhere. Make sure you know what you're belonging to. That it's really worth it. That it's really worth it. A thirst to be happy. A thirst for life. A thirst for meaning. I was talking to Pastor Joe. He says Generation Z, which is the college generation here, that they, because of the recession, they want meaning in life more than they want happiness. Amazing. A lot of people run, I just run to happiness. I want happiness. But they want meaning more than they want happiness. I commend you for that. You're going after something bigger than the frills and thrills. You want something that matters, something that lasts, something that's of value. Maybe it's a thirst for recognition. Do you realize that 75% of our youth, do you know what they aspire to be? Not doctors, not firemen, although there's some. 75%, they want to be YouTube stars. 75% want to be a YouTube star. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a YouTube star, man. You make lots of money, lots of fame. It's going to be great. I'll be the next Justin Bieber. It's going to be awesome. Last year, 24 billion selfies were uploaded on Google Photos. 24 billion. And 88 people died last year taking a selfie that they wanted to go viral and did something so stupid they died in the process. We want recognition. Oh, excuse me. What did I say? This year. Sorry, we want to make sure our facts are current and up to date. Died making a selfie because they wanted to do something that would go viral, that would have lots of hits. There's value to them. You see, we all long and thirst for something. I need a couple of volunteers. I need a volunteer from each section. We have a new person from each of these sections. I'm going to get the winner of this thing is going to get a $20. Come on up here. Run up here. Run. Tell him to run. Tell him you better run. Got to be a new person. Whoever gets here from each section. Someone from here. Brand new person. Who's new from the section? Right there. Come on up. Come on up. Run up here. All right. We got a person on each section here. What's your name?
Anthony.
Anthony, you're representing this section over here. All right. You're going to have to cheer for Anthony. And you are?
Nick.
Nick, and you're this section over here. And you are?
Madeline,
you represent the middle section, right? All right, here you go. One for you. One for you. One for you. This is probably unfair towards college students. I understand that. What we're going to do is... Don't open it yet. All right, go ahead and open it up. You can. No, just her. Okay. Take three gulps. She's a grandma. Take three gulps. Three gulps. One, two, three. Okay, that's good. Three. Oh, that's two. Where was that grandma when I was alive? I wanted, you know. Can I be out 3 hours? Oh, sure. Hey, take one more gulp because you're a grandma.
Okay.
All right, you're a grandma. All right, take a big one. Big. Don't stop. Okay. All right, good. All right, here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, and we have a $20 gift certificate. So $10 to Amazon and $10 over here to Walmart. Okay, so on the count of three, you need to open it up. Go ahead and open up yours. No, you keep yours.
Grandma's watching.
You see that? All right. Okay. On the count of three. Ready? Is it cold?
Yeah.
Yeah, brain freeze is coming. I'm just telling you, it's brain. But do you want a $20?
Sure.
Yeah. Just like everybody else. That's why 88 people died taking selfies. I'm telling you. Why? Okay. On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go!
Come on, man.
All right. Winner right here. All right. All right. She wanted to save some for later. She's a good grandma, right? Okay, just a second. Grab some here. You get right here. Right, and who's my winner? What was it again? Nick? All right, Nick. Here's a $10 Amazon gift card. Here's a $10 Walmart card. All right. Thank you so much for coming, man. Thank you so much. Come over here. Grab a candy bar. You were a close second there. And Grandma, you were a distant third, but you were delightful. You were absolutely delightful. Thirst! We're thirsty! We're thirsty, and sometimes we don't know it. We all thirst for something. And today, I want to take a look at both the Old and New Testament. Today I'm going to look at the Old Testament about this concept of thirst. Throughout the Bible, God uses the analogy of natural thirst, and He uses this to talk to us about our spiritual thirst. So I hope that as we're talking here, when you think about it naturally, you're applying it to you spiritually. The longing of your soul, something that just doesn't quite feel. I want something more. I want to feel. God gave you that. But He also said to come to Him and get it filled. In Exodus 17, this is during the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, and they're coming out, they're with Moses, they've already gone through the river and on the other side, now they're wandering around, and there's 2.5 million men, women, and children, not counting all of their livestock. They come to a spot where there's no water. That's a problem with 2.5 million people. Verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people, say it with me, complained against Moses. You notice when you're really, really, really thirsty, sometimes we complain. My observation here is thirst demands to be satisfied. Thirst demands to be satisfied. You may not think that in your soul, but it does. And you do things you don't even know in order to satisfy that thirst. Some of it is to deny you even have the thirst, but try to get it satisfied someplace else. Thirst, thirst, thirst. Thirst demands to be satisfied. It will drive you to seek a solution, something to quench that thirst. And if it's not quenched, you will complain. You'll get grumpy. You'll get angry. There are a couple of commercials here. The doctor just operated on this guy.
We're going to get the phone, his phone, out of you as soon as...
He sewed him up with his phone in there.
I have to do this. Just a little pinch.
Sweetheart,
hi,
I left my phone in...
Totally out of white.
I'm having phone issues. Bye.
We're going to fix this, needless to say.
Okay, resuming play.
Snickers satisfies.
You're careless when you're hungry, right? You see what it says? Snickers, they're doing this advertisement because they know you're looking for satisfaction. I ain't got none, but we're looking for it. I can't get no, but... Another one. What's the other one here? This is
and
a newscaster.
Now, Metro News at 6. Tom?
Hey. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Tom. Julianne?
Paul?
He's asleep on the computer. You're careless when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies. You see, when you're thirsty and hungering after something, thirsty for something in your soul, you're looking for satisfaction. You're looking for something that will satisfy you. The Sprite commercial would say this. They had the tagline, obey your thirst. Now, I'm not saying you should always obey your thirst. Because sometimes your thirst will lead you in the wrong direction. You got to obey it rightly. I remember back to my days playing football. I played football here at the University of Idaho, but before that, I played at Capital High School in Boise, Idaho. And we're playing. This is the days when you didn't have water. You were tough and rugged because they gave you no water during practice. You could only drink after practice. And so here we are. We're practicing. We're doing all this stuff. This is about years ago. I just want to tell you, we would take our helmets out of our back pocket, unfold them, and put them on our head. That's how long ago it was. So, we're practicing. We are dead thirsty after this thing. And what happens is there's big sprinklers out there on the field. And so we go running out there for the big sprinklers. You know, at first we were trying to put it in your mouth and it would just shoot out it was horrific. One guy said, hey, why don't we just turn it down a little bit back over here? And so he was the class president. And so we would drink that. We would just fill our stomachs full. Afterwards, the coach said, hey, don't do that. That's actually sewage effluent that's putting on the grass. Sewage effluent, okay? Now, there's a difference between effluent and affluent, right? Okay? We didn't know that. Our class president knew, but we did not know the difference between sewage and wealth, I guess. But it's interesting, in our day to day, as we hunger and thirst for things, do we know the difference between what's sewage and what's valuable? You know, it was interesting because our coach says to us, don't do that. It's sewage. It's raw sewage coming out of there. It's, you know, the gravy after we let it settle for a while is all. And we're drinking that. You just strain it through your teeth. It's fine. Okay, now here's the deal though. Even after he told us what it was, we still did it. Because it tasted great. Or was it less filling? I don't know, but it tasted great. It satisfied a longing we had right then. And therefore, we did it. How many times a longing that we have right now do we do something and satisfy it in a way that's filthy? In a way that satisfies for a moment. Here's my observation. Be careful. Thirst will drive you to do some not so good, maybe some stupid things to quench it. Thirst will drive you to do some not so good, actually stupid things in order to quench it. Continuing on, it says, and he said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? That's what I brought you here for. I actually brought you here so I could kill you. Our observation here, though, if thirst is not satisfied in our life, it will leave you hurting and it can kill you. And ladies and gentlemen, thirst, it's spiritual longing for something more, has killed so many people, you can't even imagine it. In the news, I just saw this a couple of weeks ago, 12-year-old girl, I think Mallory Grossman, straight A student. She was a cheerleader. She was in gymnastics. She was being bullied on Snapchat. And she just couldn't take it anymore, and she ended up killing herself. She longed to belong, and that longing was denied, and the pain of that being denied, her thirst denied, was so painful. She says it's better not to be here than to live with this pain. A 12-year-old trying to understand this. The number one cause of suicide amongst teenagers, the number one cause of death among teenagers is suicide. Senseless, stupid. Why? I'll tell you why they're all killing themselves. Something that they long for is being denied to them. Something that they think will satisfy them and they're not getting is driving them to kill themselves. Because it's painful. It's painful. Continuing on our scripture. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. Now, I'm not talking about a party here in Washington. They want to stone me. I mean, throw rocks at you. And the Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river that opened up. And go, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb. And you shall strike the rock. This whole thing, if you look at it, is a type of Christ who was stricken for us. And as he was stricken for us on the cross at Calvary, that rock opened up living water. It came to satisfy our thirst. And water will come out of it and the people may drink. You see, God wants you to drink. He wants you to drink. Some people say, no, God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to do anything. He doesn't want that. He just wants you to be a poor, miserable, lousy Christian. He just wants you to be bored out. Let me tell you what, if Christianity was a boring life, I would be the first one to tell us to get out of here because I live for adventure or to run over logs. Man, I love to do stuff. I love water ski. I love all sorts of stuff. But I love Jesus Christ and what He's done in my life and how He's changed me. He wants you to drink. The enemy goes, oh, no. That God doesn't want you to enjoy your life. He just wants you to be miserable. No. He wants you to enjoy it to the fullest. Something that will last, not just for a moment, but forever. So Moses did so in the sight of the elders. So he called the name of the place Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, here's what they were saying to the Lord here now. Is the Lord among us or not? And you think, well, ever wondered that? Is the Lord here? Does the Lord care? Is the Lord with, does he know I'm alive? I think what they may have been saying here is, will God satisfy us or not? Will God satisfy us or not? I already said He wants you to drink. But I think here's the problem with our world today. People don't believe that God will really, really satisfy them. That He's this grouchy Old Testament God who doesn't understand today's reality, doesn't understand nothing, and He's hungry, so He's angry up there and doesn't want us to have fun. It's not who He is. They don't believe that God can really satisfy them. And secondly, I think this, when people do try God, they feel that He tastes tart and bitter. To really walk this, it just seems tart and bitter, not sweet and sugary as I'm used to. It's not sweet and sugary like I'm used to. It's tart and bitter. I was talking to Pastor Joe about this, and he said, you know, if you take a strawberry fresh off the vine, it's delicious. The sugar in it is awesome, the natural sugars. It is satisfying. It tastes great. But if you eat a strawberry right after you have eaten a Snickers bar, you eat a Snickers bar, then eat a strawberry, it will taste tart and bitter, the strawberry will. You see, the counterfeit is destructive and ruins the appetite and taste for that which is really good and good for you. And the problem is we've been fed so much sugar out there in the world that when we do come to the Lord, at first we go through this, wow, I'm having this letdown here. Because it tastes kind of bitter. It tastes kind of tart. Oh, just eat of it for a while and all of a sudden you'll taste the richness of this fruit. Stay, hang in there. Watch what God will do for you. I think we eat too many Snickers from the world, and therefore we don't want the water of the living God. We are far too easily satisfied with the delicacies of this world while missing out on the abundance of what God has to offer us today. We drink effluent. And we're satisfied because they put a lot of sugar in there. On Friday, I was working out up at Snap Fitness, Snip Fatness. That's what Pastor Tom calls it. And I'm getting back in. I've been out for a while, so I'm kind of back in doing a circuit and all that stuff. And then I went on the tread machine and I ran, and I hate to run, so I kind of fool myself. I run for 30 seconds, then walk for a minute and a half, and run for 30 seconds, walk for a minute and a half, run for 30 seconds, walk for a minute and a half, and do that for about 2 miles. And then, so I got all done. I'm sweating. I know it's not very far for some of you, but it's like forever for me. I was literally drenched. I came home. Now, I like Coke, all right? I'm just telling you that right now, and I probably drink way too much of it. When I came home, I did not want a Coke. I wanted water and lots of it. I just wanted water. Give me some more 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 water. Now, when I go and prop my little rear on the couch and watch a football game and grab some potato chips, I want a Coke. I'm saying sometimes when you're out there doing what God wants you to do, you want Him more. You want Him more. He is so awesome, and He truly satisfies. I drank all that water, I go, I am satisfied! I want no Coke! I want no chips! I don't want anything else. I was satisfied. Your body was made to be satisfied by water. Your mind, on the other hand, it thinks that Coke is that which will really, really satisfy it. Ladies and gentlemen, might I suggest that as we're out there trying to get our soul satisfied, do you think the enemy doesn't know that you like sugar? You don't think the enemy knows how to get you to drink effluent? Sugar it up, and it will taste really great. Do you not know what it's doing to your body? God, for some of you that are new here, if you're coming, you're going to find new value. You're going to find a value system, and you're going to get into a group, and you're going to follow what that group does, and you're going to take on those values. Make sure you know what values you're going to take on, because you are going to take them on. You will. And my hope and my heart is, hey, plant yourself here. I want to give you stuff, hopefully not effluent, we'll give you affluence. We want to give you something that will challenge you, make you think, scratch your head, get mad at me. That's okay. But I want it to be a place where we explore Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and how good He is. I'm not afraid to tell the truth and tell it like it is. But also the truth about how good God is isn't even explained to us. The value of waiting for that relationship. The value of not cheating. The value of, hey, I don't want to put that in my body. The value of running after God wholeheartedly. In Psalm 42, 1 and 2, it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My soul thirst for God. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land in this world where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. What do you, in the sanctuary? Come to church. Look for Him in the right places. I can't seem to find any water. Well, you're digging in the wrong place. Get around folks who will help you dig in the right place. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. I love that verse. Your loving kindness is better than my life. You are so good to me. It's better than living. You are so awesome, God. You know, somebody said, what is loving kindness? Well, see, love is giving a beggar bread. Loving kindness is putting peanut butter and honey on it and giving it to Him. You see, God will always go the extra mile with you to satisfy you if you will let Him. If you will let Him. My lips shall praise you, thus I will bless you. While I live, I lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. My observation here is only God can truly satisfy your thirst. Not a Snickers, not a Sprite, not a Coke, not junk food. God Himself. In Isaiah 55. Ho! I think He's just getting our attention. It's kind of like, yo! Hey, dude! Everyone who thirsts. That's everyone. Everyone who thirsts. I was going to say this four times. Come. God. Are you thirsty? Here's God talking to you. I want you to understand this. He knows you're thirsty. How does He know that? He made you that way. long for something. I know, ding, 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 ding. He knows exactly what it is. And here's what he's saying. Hey, hey, you who are thirsty, because you all are, come! Oh my God. Come, come. Have you ever just wanted somebody to see something somewhere? Come, you gotta see this. And you, they can't do anything else. They gotta come right now. Come to the waters. And you who have no money. What does it cost? Come! Come! He says it a second time. Come! Come on! Buy and eat. Yes, yes. Come! Come! Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. You see, it's free. Thirsty people can drink from God's hand for free. I'll tell you, the world says it's free until you're addicted and it's not free no more. All the things the world has to offer us, all the effluent of the world that we see as sugary sweet and seems free, it will cost you something. Oh wow, I lost my value. It cost me my, I lost my integrity. I lost my... You'll find something when you come to God. You'll find it. Find it. Verse 2. Why, he's asking. It's all free. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread? And your wages for what doesn't satisfy? Why are you doing? Why do you go after things that don't truly satisfy? The junk food. The sugary effluent out there, it may bring relief for a moment and satisfy your thirst in an instant, but it will never be lasting. You see, we want cravings and fantasies satisfied, not our thirst. The enemy tries to get us to satisfy something else. The word satisfy. I think it's the word satisfy. It means it's the Greek word soba. Satiety is this word. I looked up the word satiety and it means the quality or state of being fed or gratified to or beyond capacity. Fed or gratified beyond capacity. Full, like after a Thanksgiving meal. I can't eat. No, I'm done. I don't want anything more. And they bring you the most luscious delicacies. I don't want, I can't do. That's what God wants to do. He wants to fill you up. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Quit eating your junk food and let your soul delight itself in abundance. In abundance. Incline your ear. And again, this is the key. Come. Come to me. Not the vendors of the world. Because they're selling you the wrong stuff. Come to me and you'll be satisfied. I want to bring this home as we kind of bring it to a conclusion here. With Jeremiah 2:13, this is my last scripture. It's an interesting thing and that we do, and I don't know why we do this. But in Jeremiah 2:13 it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." You left this fountain. It just keeps bubbling. You just drink at it. You just keep drinking till your heart's content. It just keeps going. You left me. You've forsaken me and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What's going on here? They've forsaken God. In Jeremiah, he used this word forsaken or forgotten 32 times. This is right before they're going to be carried away into captivity in 586 BC. And they're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And he says, "You've forgotten me. You've forgotten me." And when we start to forget God, who is the fountain of our satisfaction, we do the second thing. We dig our own cisterns. We bypass God and dig our own cistern. A cistern's a thing that holds water. We go, I don't want that water. I want the water that I make up. I want my stuff. I want my water. And we put it all in a cistern and we start drinking from it. But there's a big problem with the cistern that you're drinking from. It has a crack in it. So all the water you put in there just drains out. And you gotta go find some more water on your own and put it back in there and then try to drink it for a little bit. And then it broke. It's gone again. You put it in, it's gone. You put it in, it's gone. You put it in, it's gone. You see, it was never intended to hold that water. And we got a fountain that continues to bubble up water. And for some reason, we leave that to go to that. I don't understand. But the same thing happens to us today, 2,500 years later. God has a way for you to walk in relationship with Him and to enjoy the living waters of His fountain. Satisfaction. But we find other ways to satisfy our thirst apart from God that's only temporary and it will fade out. God help us. Let's pray. Lord, You're an amazing God. It just seems so simple. Why would we leave something that's bubbling up and it's there 24/7 for us for something else? Lord, I do it. We all do. We've done it. Lord, help us to be smarter than that. Help us, Lord, to know that You are the one who truly satisfies. That the broken cisterns that can hold no water, the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, the longing for fame and fortune, all of those things, Lord, they're not going to satisfy us in our guts. Help us, Lord, to trust You, to believe in You, to follow You, to be satisfied, oh God, with the living water. Father, I pray for all of us this week that You would show us ways where we're looking for the wrong thing. Sometimes we're just unaware. We're unaware that we're searching for it, Lord, and we're unaware that we're in the wrong direction. Bring it to our light and show us how this wonderful and awesome and gracious Savior, Jesus Christ, truly satisfies the hunger of our soul. Help us, Lord, to trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you don't know Jesus, it'd be a great time to come to find Him. There'll be people up here who would love to pray for you to receive Christ. He's only a moment away. He wants to be in your life. Maybe you need prayer for something else. I don't know, for school, for your job, for finances, for something. Come, these people will pray for you. We believe that God answers prayers. We get together. He hears more and more people pounding on the doors of heaven on your behalf. We're a body together. Maybe you just want to spend some time thinking about the message. That's great too. I just want you to know that I love you guys so much. And I'm just so thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for me, for us. And I just want more and more of Him. Satisfaction comes from the fountain of God. Find it. It's free. Love you guys. Remember the reception afterwards. If you're new here, feel free to stay and chat a little bit. When you do go out, we'd love to chat with you out there as well. God bless you guys. Love you tons. Amen.